Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Solutions for Success show presented to you by Nashville Success Summit. Today's guest is Matt Ermey, CEO and founder of Artist Growth. Now, if you've ever thought about launching a product and creating a business and you have no business background, listen to Matt's story. Matt's a musician by trade who's now launched a very successful product that has got the attention of all kinds of players in the music industry with plans to expand even further. Matt's story is a great one to hear, so listen in to our guest, Matt Ermey.
Now, I know that you're a musician in your own right, and so you've got your own performances, and you've been pretty successful at that. And I love your music, by the way. I went and listened to quite a bit of it online. Now,
you're a CEO
of Artist Growth. So tell me, you know, what is Artist Growth? Why don't we start with that? Tell us what Artist Growth is and how it came to be.
Artist Growth is a cloud-based software platform, a mobile software platform that my partner and I developed. Both of us are musicians. And we sat down and designed this platform as the result of our own need as touring and working musicians for a better solution on how to manage the business side of our music careers. And what was out there available and emerging, there were several tools emerging online, and we were testing all of them and working with all of them. And we just, you know, were dissatisfied. So instead of waiting around for somebody to build what we wanted, we just started drawing designs and thinking through how it would get put together. And so that sort of sent us on this journey of learning about software and learning about what was available and what was becoming available in the mobile sector. And so, you know, over the course of about 15 months, we had lots of meetings with various technology experts and music technology experts, and were able to solidify a wireframe design, and we're able to build a team of people around that to invest in the product, and then we were able to develop it into a market-ready product, which we launched in January of this year, 2012.
Right, it's just been a few months that it's been out there. So let's talk about your team. So you and your partner were both musicians, and you saw a need, and you set out to fill it, but neither of you had the experience of creating a product, launching a product, and actually managing the business aspects of it. So how did you handle that? Who did you bring in to help you?
Well, the first person I went to was my father, who was a longtime chief executive of Vanderbilt Medical Center here in Nashville. And so I went and met with him, showed him the idea, and he introduced me to someone he worked with there who's an entrepreneur in the community. And so I was able to show him the designs that I had, the drafts of a business plan, an executive summary that I had written. At that point, Dr. Jacobson sort of began to work with me on refining it, putting together a presentation for potential investors. And at the same time, I was reaching out to other contacts within the community, people who worked in finance or people who worked in the music space, but all people who were involved in their sector in an entrepreneurial capacity. So they had gone through capital raises, they had gone through the launches of companies and the management of companies, and then exited from those companies. So they sort of had that full spectrum of an experience, and they were able to, as we were refining the executive summary and putting slide decks together, and I was making presentations to, you know, angel networks or private angel investors, going through all of that, I was also, you know, on the back end talking to them about the management side of things and getting a plan together for, you know, okay, so we're going to spend the last two quarters of 2011 developing platform. It's going to be a lot of programming work, a lot of this, et cetera, et cetera. That I was all familiar with. Working with programmers was familiar to me. And so I was more, you know, working with them as I was raising the money, saying, okay, when we launch this thing, the strategy going to be who's going to do what, who do I need in the first quarter, who do I need to be prepared to hire in the second quarter, and all of that. And, so, and all of that, of course, ties into the building of the projections, the market penetration and the expected revenues and how much money out of the investment you'll have to pay salaries. You know, so it was all hinged around me being very active in the network of entrepreneurs in Nashville who were willing to sit down with me and kind of prepare me for what was ahead at the same time, help me refine what I was doing right in that moment, which was putting together an executive summary and a presentation for investment.
Yeah, you're right. To do this all on your own is setting yourself up for failure. So building that team and reaching out was really smart. Now, how big is your team right now?
Well, we have 4 employees right now at Artist Growth, people who work for the company on salary, and the technology officer, a marketing director, and then the two co-founders, which is myself and Jonathan. And our team of, then we have, of course, we have our investors and our board, and then we have an advisor, you know, a sort of network of advisors that, you know, is sort of an informal group of people from several walks of life, not just in the music space, some, you know, in finance, some in healthcare, some in politics, some in music, some just in technology. And, you know, I go and meet with them as needed when I face challenges and I'm looking for solutions to, you know, challenges that I face or that I see coming down the pipeline. What I've learned about startup companies, and especially in the technology space, is it's such a rapid evolution, and you know, it really pays to focus on surrounding yourself with people who can help you look down the road. And when you're doing that, to make sure that that network of people isn't just people who are focused on your market, but are focused on other markets and other lines of business, because in technology, once something emerges in one market segment, it can very quickly move over into another.
Yeah, actually, I looked at Artist Growth, and I just love that whole concept that you built in with Action Packs. And right away, it started me thinking that, you know, I know people who do speaking for a living, professional speakers, where it wouldn't take a whole lot to customize what you built for musicians to support that industry as well. Is that in the plans for you to start expanding into other industries?
Absolutely. I mean, from the outset, that was part of the plan. It was music is what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So that space was easy for me to design in, and then easy for me to make connections with people that we could integrate with and do business with. But the core technology was designed and developed specifically to operate in the music sector, in the entertainment sector, in the education sector, you know, in the sports and athletic sector, and then potentially healthcare as well, and potentially community organizing and politics. So these are all designs that I've already begun working on, and then, you know, it's a matter of managing my time, but to also meet with experts inside of those sort of business verticals and work with them to really refine how the core technology in Artist Growth is applicable in their market, and then to build upon that core, you know, to make sure that the details of their needs are also met. So it's really exciting, you know, but you definitely can't do it without the input from the community.
Yeah.
And for people who are just starting their first company, you know, if you don't have that good supportive network of people who believe in you as an entrepreneur, not just your product, you're making it very hard on yourself. That network of people is so crucial.
Agreed. Well, and we're huge believers in the whole concept of mastermind as well, because when you start pulling people from different walks of life, different experiences together, and start brainstorming ideas, you know, that's when things really start to get fun. Well, you mentioned investors. Let's talk about that for a minute. You mentioned, you know, that you had some advisors helping you put together your plan and putting together the summaries, and then you were out meeting with investors to help you with your initial funding. Can you give us some advice on what kind of preparation you should do and what investors are looking for? Like, what do you think appealed to the investors about your offering?
You know, that's a good question. There's several layers to an answer to that. In my experience, a realistic outlook on the market and on the product's ability to penetrate the market is something that investors immediately look for. Having a realist sense of the business that you're building. And I also experienced several milestones that were given to me to hit, you know, before anyone on my team was actually willing to write a check. In other words, it was their process of vetting me and my ability to execute on my word and get things done. And that, to me, also was an invigorating process. It's challenging at times, and, you know, you have to find a way to motivate yourself to keep going and not take no for an answer. But I think that investors want to see that there's as wide a potential as you can with a product in terms of reaching a large market. And also, I think that investors are drawn to founders that have realistic notions about what they can and cannot do and are self-aware about their strengths and their weaknesses, who are open to the idea of of other talent coming on board to help execute the company and market and sell the product. And depending on what it is, and you know, technology is different than sneakers or other things that you could develop. But I would suggest to any would-be entrepreneurs or people who are working on their first project, or even not their first project, but we're looking for some real investment for the first time, is no doesn't always mean no. No can sometimes mean not yet. You just have to be willing to continue, you know, stay the course and continue to get the work done. And then you have to be willing to have somebody tell you no and then go somewhere else and not let that discourage you. But you always have to be realistic. And I was an entrepreneur who was right off the bat saying, I fully anticipate bringing on other talent, bringing on additional talent at the right time to execute the company, you know, and to take the company to places, somebody who has the experience that I don't have. And that was something that I felt my team responding to right away, you know, as I was building them, because, you know, they are all very experienced people who have all run companies. Many of them have founded companies, developed companies, built companies, and then sold those companies several times over. You know, so I was always very humble and very eager to learn and very responsive to their counsel. And I think that played a pivotal role in the development of my relationship with them. And it took months. I mean, it took months to get people to start writing checks. And it really was a process of them figuring out what I was made of and what I was willing to do and how much direction and counsel I was willing to take.
That's excellent advice, Matt. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now, talk about the product launch. Like, I think it was what, early January, mid-January when you officially launched your product?
So tell
us how you did that. How did you do your product launch?
Well, we went as big as we could. You know, we rented out the Country Music Hall of Fame, and we called and contacted as many celebrities as we could inside of our network, and we tried to build a really big party around and a lot of buzz and excitement about the product. You know, so we catered the event. We invited people to come down from all sectors in the community. We invited the mayor to come speak at the launch party, which took a little bit of convincing, but he eventually did. He agreed to do it because we were tying the event into some initiatives that he has with the city. You know, and I think that's something that's very, very wise to do for any entrepreneur, in to know what's happening in their town on the political level. If entrepreneurialism is something that is of interest to the people who are managing the community, you know, reaching out to them and saying, you know, this is something that we're doing and we'd like to help support your initiatives and what you're trying to do with entrepreneurialism in our community. And for Nashville, you know, it's the Entrepreneur Center, and they're really trying to foster a community of entrepreneurs, and especially in the technology sector. And so we reached out and we said, hey, this is what's going on. We just wanted you to be aware, and anything we can do to use this launch and this product to shed light on what you're trying to do in the community and help foster that, please let us know. And so as a result of that, we were able to work together on that launch party, and it was great. And, you know, I met people that night that I didn't know before who were entrepreneurs, and I learned about the products that they were working on. And I think that's healthy, you know, to try to be as aware as you can about what's happening in your community around you. And so we went down to the Hall of Fame, and we had this big party, and we got up and we presented the product to people, and then tried to meet as many people as we could. And of course, we had the press there, and we had contracted a PR firm that you know, is really active in the music sector and very renowned and respected, and so they had press there. And you know, of course, we tried to make it as ubiquitous a covered event as we could, and then we just kind of did it. And then, you know, the next morning we were all on planes to the conferences and trade shows, and just hit the ground running from there with a really aggressive, you know, marketing plan.
So what is your plan for growth? Is this, I know you're targeting it, with this initial launch, you're targeting the musicians, right, the music industry. So are you primarily growing through individual users and sales, or are you looking for some partnerships and tying in with some of the bigger companies and leveraging their network?
We've already done both. So we are definitely reaching out to, you know, even individual people, not just organizations. But we have partnered with five universities already that have music business colleges inside of their infrastructure. Our platform is being utilized by their professors to teach about certain aspects of the industry. And we've partnered with the two largest performing rights organizations in the world, BMI and ASCAP, and actually are doing an integration with their systems so people can utilize our systems for their royalty reporting. And, you know, that's something that's never been done before. So it's definitely something that we're doing to try to partner with existing companies, allow our solution and our software to be, you know, marketed to their affiliates, you know, and through partnership rates and programs like that, and as well as just going out into the open market and saying, you know, this is here. And so far it's been very effective to do that. And, you know, you have to know your market. And the music space right now, the music industry is going through such a massive transition. It has been for a decade or more as a result of technology. But right now is an exciting time because a lot of services have been developed and a lot of integrations are starting to happen. And so there is some sense of some really core organizations that are starting to link up that are really going to define the way information and money and music get bought, sold, reported, and tracked, you know, mm-hmm. henceforth. And it's really exciting to see that actually start to settle in and take hold. And to be a part of that is something, you know, that's exciting, really exciting for everybody at Artist Group. And we kind of came around along at the right time with a piece of the puzzle that was necessary. So, you know, we've had early success integrating with some of these organizations. And again, I think, you know, it's about timing, and you don't want to be ahead of your time too far, and you don't want to be, you know, behind what's happening. So you really got to know and believe in your solution and believe in your product. And when you go and meet with these people, be able to convince them that it is indeed a piece of the puzzle to the solution that they are working on. And, you know, that's been our work over the last 4.5 months, is to convince some of these, in some cases, 100-year-old organizations that they needed our product.
Did you know that you needed to do this when you first put your plan together, or has this all been discovery as you got closer and closer to your launch?
We had an idea. You know, I wrote in my very first executive summary, I said, I want to integrate with this company, and here's why. You know, and I was told at the beginning, like, well, you can forget that. It's not going to happen. There's just no way that you're going to be able to leverage that deal. And, you know, that was a year before the launch, because it took me a while to raise the money and to develop the product. So by the time we launched, the landscape had shifted a little bit, and I was able to broker a deal with one of those companies, and then two of those companies, and then a third of those companies. And so you have your plan, but you have to be willing to adjust, you know. And some of the things I wanted to do have happened. Some of them haven't happened yet. I'm still working on them. Some of them I've had to just walk away from the table because the deal wasn't right. And then you adjust and you say, okay, so, you know, what are we going to do from here? And you have to be agile like that. There's a great book called The Lean Startup that I would recommend to any entrepreneur who's putting a product together and thinking about launching their product. That, you know, I hadn't read until we were already, you know, at the gates of our launch. I wish I had read it 2 years ago. But it's a fantastic book. It's a quick read, and it's something that I think can save people a lot of pain and a lot of pressure, a lot of unnecessary pressure on themselves.
That's a great advice. Yeah, I think whatever you can find from a book, especially from someone like you recommending it, that you've gone through the process and you found the wisdom in the book, I'd rather read the book than skin my knees the hard way, right? So.
Yeah, for
sure.
Tell me, for sure.
What kind of challenges are you facing now? You're past the development stage, you know, you're out there in marketing. So what do you see as your biggest challenges right now in the phase you're in?
The first challenge is managing growth. You know, there's that old famous expression of, like, that's a good problem to have. And it is a good problem to have, but it's still a challenge that has to be addressed. And you have to manage growth, you know, with key people, with people. And it's so important in a startup, everybody who's on the team And when you bring in new people, they have to be at the right cultural fit, and they have to be, it's very important that they're the people who can do the job. And so part of my job now is to find people who are better than me at running companies, and surround myself with talent that exceeds and experience that exceeds my own, so I can continue to learn, and we can continue to, we can start doing things that, you know, only experience can give somebody the insight for. So I'm working on building up, you know, and expanding the executive team. I'm in the process of leaving the agency model and bringing all of the software development under my roof. So I'm looking at hiring programmers, and that's a challenge in and of itself, finding good talent there and managing the cost of that and the transition over from the people that we initially employed to build the product. You know, and thinking about the best way to do that and whether or not we even should do that. So, you know, thinking about that growth and managing that, projecting it down the line. And then, you know, customer service is something that's always a challenge when you have rapid growth like we have. Being able to stay in contact with those people and make sure that they're getting the service that they feel they were promised, and you're responsive to their questions and all of that. You know, with a team of four, that's proven challenging. Lucky for us, we're a software company, and there's plenty of software out there for customer service, and so we've been able to pull some of that off the shelf, you know, sort of pre-packaged solution for managing customer bases and put that to work for us. But, you know, as it grows, you know, that can be a challenging thing. We, you know, one day we had over 1,000 people subscribe to our platform, and our customer service queue went through the roof, and our technology officer was up all night long answering queries about, you know, things of the system, just because people were brand new and they had questions, so they emailed in, you know, and so managing stuff like that is definitely challenging, and knowing how and when to pull the trigger on hiring new people, that's there's a fine art to that, and luckily I have a wonderful team of investors who provide great counsel. And again, it goes back to, you've got to be surrounded by people who believe in you and who are willing to help you. And sometimes that's the people who put the money in your product, and sometimes it's people who have no money in your product, because they're a little more mentoring.
I can ask you a million questions and we could stay on the phone for another 2 hours, but I kind of want to just ask you if you would sum it up. So if you have someone who's just now starting up or thinking about launching a product and they've never done this before, what lessons would you give them? What would you say for them to go do first?
In Nashville, Tennessee?
Yes.
I would say to anyone in Nashville who's doing this for the first time, you know, you're already developing your product, designing your product, thinking about the kind of business, thinking about your market, you're making all those notes. That's great. You have to do that over and over and over and over again, refine that. But get out a piece of paper, make a list of your network in the entrepreneurial community, your network of potential investors, whether they're family and friends and sort of seed investors like that, or if you know people who do more heavy angel investing, if you have connections in the angel networks, like, make a list of that network, make a list of people who you consider to be your mentors. And if you don't have people that can populate a list of people who would be willing to be on your team, your development team, and be on your advisory team, then I would say go down to the Entrepreneur Center. There's a couple places you could go. You could go to the Entrepreneur Center, and you could get a seat down there, and you could start. You will then immediately be under the mentorship of some really brilliant people. And then there's other companies. Like, there's a company in Nashville called Flow, which was started by an entrepreneur who built and sold the company very successfully. And now he's got this incubator. He calls it a thinkery. His name is Mark Montgomery, and he has a company that is similar to the Entrepreneur Center, but it's not, you know, exactly the same. But finding a resource like that you can go to and get the mentorship that you need and get plugged into the community. Because without that community, it'll be very difficult to refine your product, refine your business plan, get funded, and then launch the company. I mean, those are all things that take a lot of advice and a lot of support. And, you know, I feel very lucky that I have such a great team. And if I didn't have the connections already, I probably would have gone to a place like the Entrepreneur Center or a group like Flow and presented my idea and you know, listened to what they had to say. But again, you know, when you go to those places, you have to believe in what you're doing because they won't be easy on you. They don't exist to pat you on the back and tell you how great you are. They exist to criticize what you're doing, and they expect the people who are going to survive in the entrepreneurial game to be able to take those hits and get up and not be discouraged by them, but be inspired by them and become more driven to make a better product, not people who to back away. So you have to be ready to put yourself in those environments. And if someone feels ready to do that, then I would say, you know, go there if you don't already have the network and see what they have to say. And then just never, ever, ever give up because you can't.
So what's next for you? Are you still playing music? Are you still performing? Or have you turned your focus entirely to building Artist Growth?
Yeah, I'm not performing right now. I'm not touring at all, which is the first time in my life for the last 12 years that I haven't been actively performing. But I'm loving Artist Growth. I'm working on a project. Before Artist Growth launched, I began working on a record with a legendary producer named Cowboy Jack Clement, who was involved in early Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis recordings and George Jones and just countless other synths. So I'm continuing that project just because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. When I have the time, we go and work together. But I'm all Artist Growth right now. You know, and I would tell anybody who wants to do this, if they think they're going to do it, they better be willing to go 120% or it won't happen.
Excellent, excellent, Matt. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. And you shared a lot of knowledge with us, and I appreciate it. And I'm sure our audience appreciates it as well. So thanks a lot.
Well, it was my pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Isn't that a great story? I just love listening to success stories like Matt's. Now, if you live in Nashville, Tennessee, the resources that he's referencing are the Entrepreneur Center and the Flow Thinkery. You can find both of them online, and if you live in Nashville, you've probably heard of them anyway. I encourage each of you to look into the resources that are available to you, and don't forget about us at NashvilleSuccessSummit.com. If you're a small business owner who's looking for people who are just like you, who know what you're going through, and you want to do some peer-to-peer advisory and masterminding with them, come check us out. On our website is NashvilleSuccessSummit.com. And while you're there, if you look at the tab for expert interviews, you'll find a copy of this recording as well as the transcript for those who prefer to have it in writing. Till next time, this is Joanne checking out at NashvilleSuccessSummit.com.